Today on Real Radio.
We don't know the details, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. That's awesome. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That means you're getting ready.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In the first eight verses of chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes about how different our heavenly bodies are going to be from the ones that we have right now. In fact, he uses the word tent to describe our earthly bodies. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now, taking us through the section of 2 Corinthians. It's a lesson called Tell Me About Heaven.
Jesus simply said, when you see the end time event things happening, just look up. Why would you not look up? I know why you wouldn't look up, because you want to look down. Look up. The next thing is this. You and I know what's ending. What's ending? Let's be honest. Come on, let's face it. Young people today, wait, this is first service. There are no young people here yet. They just got home a few hours ago. They'll be coming to third service. This tent. He says this tent is destroyed. Isn't that a great word? He calls our body, he calls his body a tent. Dwight L. Moody, the great American evangelist, his last words, listen to his last words, Dwight L. Moody. His last words that he uttered before he died concerning his end. Earth is receding. Heaven is approaching. This is my crowning day. And he died. I have a book, by the way, of the last words of saints and sinners. It's a fascinating read. This tent that you and I wear in this world, the Bible says, is dissolving. Are we preparing? Have we been prepared? Are we thinking? And no, listen, only the Christian's going to understand what I'm saying right now. The non-Christian's going to say, how disgusting. In the spirit of what Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As Christians, the more we grow along in this world, the less appeal this world has for us. If you doubt that, I mean, just go to the mall again. I mean, if you know, just go to the mall. Or for that matter, one of the greatest things, we should start hosting. Maybe we should do this. We should start hosting Christian tours of Universal Studios. Why? Oh boy, Universal, maybe we see a movie star? That's not why we would go. Why? Because when you drive around the back lot and you go, oh my goodness, there's the house from, I don't know, something. There's the house from that show. Let's stop the bus, get out, walk through the door, and realize there ain't nothing behind it. It's all fake. It's called a facade. It's faux in Francais. It's fake. It's fake. And so much of life is fake. It's not there. And listen, we need to be preparing ourselves, our family, our children, to understand that there's a world beyond this world. And it's good in Jesus. Now, Time Magazine just put out an article that we are all dangerous. We Christians are telling our children about heaven. And we are dangerous, psychologically disturbed people. Time Magazine. You can read it. It's online. Dr. James Dobson tells a story when he was at USC Medical Center. A mother had three children. Her youngest son, 5-year-old son, suffered from severe asthma. The doctors had warned her the asthma could even take his life. But she had two other children, too, to raise, and no father, and she lived in the poorer parts of Los Angeles. And she made it to the county hospital, and Dr. Dobson had heard about this from another doctor, and the child was now hospitalized again, and they told the mom, he is not doing well. He may not make it. But the mother had the two other children to take care of, and she'd rush back and forth to the hospital, back and forth to the hospital. And this went on for a month or more. And the little boy said, Mommy, am I going to die? Now, when you're of that age, you don't quite get that, okay? And the mommy, listen, this is precious. Mommy, am I going to die? The mommy said, you could die. We all die. And he said, well, how am I going to know if I'm dying? And she said, well, that's very easy. And right off the cuff, she made it up. She said, you know what? If you're dying, if anyone's dying, Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, you'll be able to hear bells. Jesus rings bells. And he said, okay. So one night, it was a very, very severe night. The kid was laboring for his life. They were trying to get a phone call to the mother to get to the hospital. They couldn't make contact with her. Finally, in the early morning hours, they contacted her and they said, listen, little Charlie, he's not going to make it. If you don't hurry, you need to get here now. By the time she caught a bus, by the time she made it there, Charlie had died. And a very dear, precious nurse had sat with little baby Charlie. And when the mother came in, she was expecting to see him, and he was dead. And the nurse was comforting the mother, and the nurse said, you know, I don't know what this means, and I don't know if it matters to you at all, but over and over again, all night long, he kept saying, can you hear the bells? Mama, can you hear the bells? In his delirium and in his suffering, Mama, can you hear the bells? And so, ma'am, I don't know what this means, but your little Charlie kept saying, Mama, can you hear the bells? That's awesome. You can prepare your child for heaven. And they may outlive you, and I pray they do, right? But you can always prepare them. God will honor that. Prepare them. Don't leave that open-ended. God will honor that. God honored the attempt of that sweet mom to prepare her little Charlie for heaven. You'll hear bells. Well, listen, maybe you will hear bells. But there'll be a day when you're going to hear the trumpet blast of the Lord. And that's an important thing. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a child, you will by no means see the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Faith-filled. The word tent here means exactly what you think it means. It means something that is temporary. It means a part-time dwelling. God looks at your body and mind as a part-time dwelling. Why? You're going to heaven. Christian, you're going to heaven. By the way, it's the same word that's translated from the Hebrew into the Greek Septuagint when the Old Testament recorded the tabernacle in the wilderness. Remember that? They had the tabernacle with the Ark of the Covenant. It was made out of badger skins. The tent was. Remember that? The word is the exact same word, a temporary dwelling. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, your body is the exact same temporary dwelling place of the Almighty God in this world. It's only temporary. Just like it was in the wilderness wanderings with the children of Israel, God refused to live in a tent forever. What does he want? He wants your body. Christian, he has your body. But until you and I are with him in heaven, there is the dwelling of God in you and I in this bodily tent. We need to stop. Listen, we need to stop thinking that everything rises and sets on these bodies. I know I'm speaking against our culture, and it's probably falling on deaf ears perhaps, but this is not all there is. You're going to live eternally. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What an awesome thing that is. Point number two today is this. What, if I were to tell you about heaven, Paul would say? We would ask this question then to Paul, what will I be like? Or what will it be like there, I should say. What will heaven be like? Look at verse 1 again. That we'll have a building from God, a house not made with hands or human hands. Christian, we're going to go fast from here on out to the end. Mark it down. You will be eternal there. Will you mark that down? Christian, you will be eternal in heaven. This is an amazing thing. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands or human hands. It means that God makes the body that you're going to have it in eternity. It'll be a resurrected body, this body, resurrected, but it's engineered, the architecture is of God, and you will be there in the eternal state. Though you and I are born into this world, there was no pre-existence of us before we were born, yet after we are born, the Bible makes it very clear, by the way, believer and non-believer alike, there is eternity that awaits the human. Eternity, eternal. What will I be like there? You're going to be eternal. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:53, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Listen, our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies, says God. Well, that is an awesome thing. The next thing is this. You and I, hallelujah, praise God, we will be sin-free there. Sin-free. In heaven. Have you ever asked the question, thought, wow, when I'm in heaven, I mean, I know the angels sinned in heaven and some of them got thrown out, says the Bible. Oh no, what if I'm in heaven for 10 million years and I sin? Guess what? Are you listening? Take a deep breath. Ain't gonna happen because it cannot happen. You wanna know why? You will be resurrected, and when you're resurrected, when you and I are in eternity with God, our human nature, the sin nature, will have been completely removed from us. The sin nature of our humanity, completely removed. We will not be able to sin there in heaven. You are sin-free. You know, I put that in there, sin-free, because is it gluten-free? Is it fat-free? Is it lactose-free? Is it what? Hey, I don't know, but I know this. Whatever you and I in heaven will be sin-free. It's not going to happen. It is not, you are not going to be able. I don't care what anybody tells you, they're making something up. Your nature, in the resurrection, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not have the ability to sin against God in heaven. And that is awesome, exciting news. By the way, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, I'll just paraphrase it, you can mark it later, it's verses 49 to 53, says that we will be raised incorruptible. How's that? Incorruptible and stay incorruptible. I'm happy about that. I'm happy about a lot of things that go on in my life, but I can't stand that part of me that disobeys God. I hate it. You know what I'm talking about? You look at me. You look at me like I'm the only one like this. Here's a fun one. What will I be like there? Well, listen, you will be looking like you there. Now, some people find this very depressing. You will be looking like you there. Let me explain. He says we have a building from God. Yes, it's resurrected. It's glorified, made new. A house not made with hands, human hands. This is encouraging. Don't panic. Don't leave now. Because if you leave now, then you'll just be depressed all day long. You won't get it. But you and I will be fully, you and I, in heaven, without sin, right? In a glorified body. Check this out. Read the fine print of your Bible. According to Scripture, book of Zechariah, there appears to be only one in eternity that has scars, severe scars, mind you. You know what I'm talking about? That's right. The Bible says, in eternity, Jesus is disfigured by his scars. Read the book of Zechariah, chapters 12 to 14. He is scarred. Jesus in heaven right now is scarred from his sacrifice. What about us? If I have a scar and I'm resurrected, will I have that scar? Apparently not. If I was born with a defect, will that defect be obvious in heaven? Apparently not. Aren't you glad? I was born thin and now I have a, will I be chunky in heaven? Apparently not. What will I look like? I don't know. Will I be short or tall? Don't know. What color will I be? Don't know. But this we know. Think of people who have been born deformed, severely deformed. Imagine, what kind of heaven would it be like if Christians who were born severely deformed are deformed in heaven? It doesn't work. And not only doesn't work, we have a sure promise. The scriptures tell us that in 1 John 3, this is so cool. What will I look like in heaven? Because you all have these illusions of grandeur. I'll be 6'5". Look. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. We don't know the details, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. That's awesome. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That means you're getting ready. You're watching for him. You're on guard, watching for Jesus. So what are we going to look like? I don't know. But you will be you in eternity forever with the sin effects removed. That's cool. That's great. So, Pastor, will I be attractive in heaven? Or, well, no one's going to be looking at you, I don't think, personally. We're going to be looking at him. Well, I mean, I was born ugly. Will I be ugly there? Don't know. Well, am I going to be able to keep my awesomeness up there? Don't know. Not important. Are you with me? This we know. We will be like him, and the sin effects will be removed in that time. That's very, very sweet and beautiful news. Listen, we'll go as far as we can, but I got to give you this verse. This is fun stuff. I had to throw this in there. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. It's always fun to read that. It's kind of crazy at times. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Listen to this. Do not let the excitement of your youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor him in your youth before you grow old and say things like this. Life is not pleasant anymore. Remember God before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your old eyes. Turn on the light. The light's on. No, it's not. Yeah, it can't go any brighter. You're going blind. And rain clouds continually darken your sky. Oh, it's terrible outside. It's a beautiful day. No, it's not. It's going to rain any minute. Look, it's all dark. Oh, no, you're just... Remember God before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble. I know what that's like now. He goes on. Remember God before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes and those looking through the windows grow dim. Remember God before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. I can hardly hear. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember God before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets. Don't go out there. Something could happen, right? Before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom. And this is the Bible. Isn't it amazing? And you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper. And the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. We're not going to go any further there, but God's merciful to us, though. Have you noticed that? He's merciful to us. I thought about that, and what are we going to look like in eternity? As you get older, it's great being a Christian and growing older. It's great. It's really great. I'm not joking. It's great. And God in his mercy, though, look, as you get older, you have a tendency to gain weight. First of all, it is amazing. You know how I know I'm getting prepared for heaven? You know how we're going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? Huge food. Every food now tastes good to me now. When I was younger, I was picky. Now it's like, what is it? I don't care. Just bring it in. But God is merciful because just when we get too much food consumption going on, my teeth begin to hurt and fall out, and I can't eat as much. So you see how God's mercy counters that one. And then, listen, wrinkles and spots come on. I had to go to a dermatologist the other day for precancerous skin stuff because there's stuff going on. He puts on these, like, kryptonite goggles, looks at my face, and goes, "Oh, you're coming back. We've got to do all kinds of stuff to your, we got to cut there and do this, and you've been in the sun too much." I said, "Okay, all right." But you know what's good? I didn't see that stuff. I looked in the mirror. See ya. And I would go, "Why, you know how good God is? I didn't see all that stuff that he could see with those kryptonite goggles." Because God in his mercy, with all the stuff, you know, there's hair growing places, and there's warts and things happening. I don't see them. Because God in his mercy, my eyes can't focus that well anymore. So I go to the mirror and I go, "Super." Little do I know, you know, there's like a giraffe on my face or something. I don't know. This happened last week. Somebody came up. I've been gone from this church for years, and I came back. I'm so glad to be back, and I'm so sorry about the things I said about you. And I said, "First of all, who are you? I don't remember. Who are you?" "Oh, yeah, I remember you. Well, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me?" I said, "Look, stop right there. I don't even know what you're talking about. So there's nothing to forgive because I don't remember." Isn't God good? He's preparing us for heaven. Has someone ever hurt your feelings and they go, "I'm so sorry. Don't talk anymore. Look, we're great. I don't remember what you said. Life is beautiful. Let's go to lunch." Oh, you know what I'm talking about? We're going to heaven, people. God's preparing us for eternity. And it is a good and glorious and awesome thing. We need to stay focused on that fact. Every day we're closer. Every day. The Lord may come back. I pray he does. But this we know. I tell you, doubters, your doubt should be evaporating with every reading of the newspaper, with every reading of your Bible. Doubt should dissipate. Christian, you and I are living in an amazing time. I mentioned this on this last week. It's exciting to say. I'm talking to more and more pastors, even more since I announced this to you last time. Every pastor I've talked to, they've reported back to me, we've had record amount of people attending churches on Resurrection Easter morning, all across the nation. All across the nation. Locally, churches were over busting at the seams. Orange County, New York. Can you believe it? In New York. In Washington State. Record attendance. Why? People are starting to sense something's up. I need to get ready for heaven. Are you ready for heaven? I hope you're ready for heaven. I hope a topic like this gets you excited. I hope a portion of scripture like this gets you excited.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "Tell Me About Heaven," taken from the first 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's one place where the Apostle Paul explains how our bodies in eternity will be different from the ones we have right now. Tell Me About Heaven. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that if you missed any of Pastor Jack's TV programs, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, all you got to do is visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then simply click on the button that says Watch. There's a list of past programs. Just click the one you want, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.